As we come through this morning, this message this morning speaks, of course, to our people here, and there are things I would teach on the radio that I won't teach in here, because you don't need, but they out there need it all. So I'm going to try to condense some of this as the Spirit has led me yesterday. But in Philippians chapter 2, when I look at the scriptures, I don't know if you're honest enough to do this or not, but when I look in the scriptures and I look at my life, I say, I don't measure up. I don't measure up. There's too many attitudes. And a lot is not often expressed. I would like to express, but the fact that I would like to express it means that it's there. So I look in the scriptures, and I say to the Lord, Lord, my life really doesn't measure up to what it ought to be. Now, we all know that's true of each and every one of us.
Amen.
We're not what we ought to be. We're not what we want to be. But we're not what we used to be.
Amen.
And for that, we are thankful. But I'm going to come through this verse by verse by verse. And all I'm asking you to do is see how it applies to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know what we want to accomplish this morning. And you know the decision I had to make even this morning when I thought the decision was already made. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit of God, for the anointing this morning to just simply deliver the word under your anointing, your leadership, and your lordship that you would have delivered. And I'm going to ask you to give us ears to hear. Father, we haven't really heard a thing till we're begging, have we? We listen without hearing. But until we embrace it and practice it, we really haven't heard it.
Amen.
We've listened, but we haven't heard it. I'm asking you this morning to give us each ears to hear.
Yes.
And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition, conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's a heavy verse. What he's really saying is dethrone the big I off your life. Because all of us, if we're not careful, will enthrone the big I on our life, and he will remain there. So he's really saying, don't do anything you do for recognition. And how many of us have spent how much of our lives trying to make sure we were recognized? Maybe in the profession. Maybe in the confession. Whatever it may be. But he's saying, let nothing. Now, it applies not only outside the church, but inside the church as well. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Recognition and the desire for recognition can be displayed in a lot of ways. The desire for recognition can be displayed in the way one dresses. The desire for recognition can manifest itself in any number of ways, and if you may find some ways that you are seeking recognition. Over the years, I've had to kind of smile and frown at the same time. When I first entered the ministry 45 years ago, it was three-piece suit, tie, vest, the whole thing. Make sure you had wingtip shoes on. Make sure they were highly polished. All of it. And I've seen the transition over the years to the point now that we get guys on the platform with blue jeans and a sports coat and no tie and a shirt and open. Had somebody call me and said, let me ask you about Challenge Ministries. Said, are you a suit and tie ministry? And I said, well, no, not really. And I thought later I should have said, well, we're not sandals and shorts either. But we're not suit and tie, but we're just everyday kind of, you know, I could wear this to Publix and get away with it, or I could wear it in the office and get away with it. But you'd be surprised the subtle ways we seek recognition. We want somebody to take note of us. And the Word is telling us not to do that. That means there's not to be any self-exaltation. That's a toughie. It's a toughie not to seek any self-exaltation. I'll promise you, every musician has to fight that. Every preacher has to resist that. Self-exaltation. I mean, if I'm pretty good at what I do, I want you to take note of what I do. It's in there until the Lord burns it out. And when we say no self-exaltation, regardless of the accolades of the past, regardless of the accolades of the past, regardless of the accomplishments of the past, regardless of the accolades, the accomplishments, regardless of the recognition we received in the past, the way of attaboy, letters of recommendation, letters of commendation, what promotions, whatever it may be, we must not allow that to become a part of us. In other words, take it all, everything you have ever experienced that was of any value, and take it over and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Just for funsies for a moment, turn your Bible to Psalm 87. Psalm 87 and verse 7. Psalm 87, verse 7. Now, you will find some biblicists that don't even touch this. And the first six verses, verse 7 itself is rather obscure. But the first six verses require a lot of well-defined understanding. And scholars, even among themselves, are at variance about what it means. I'm bringing this up at this point for this reason. A couple of weeks ago, I was really kind of in the mother grubs about so many things and my own life and everything else. And I'd go to bed, and I'm laying there just kind of quietly running this stuff through my mind. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit and said, read Psalm 87. I had not the foggiest idea what Psalm 87 said, but I reached over, got my Kindle, opened it up, went to Psalms 87, and I got to the last verse. All my springs are in you. I challenge you to sit down with the Word of God and a notepad and in your mind make notes about what that verse says to you. All my springs are in you. And you'll find a lot of variance among a lot of biblicists. But when you get down to what I just got through saying, bring all of your failures, bring all of your victory, bring all of your recognition, bring everything you've ever accomplished that was worth anything, all your failures, and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Give Him the glory, give Him the honor for every accomplishment that you've ever accomplished. And understand this. I was talking to a man yesterday up in Pennsylvania, and we were talking about the things we go through. And he's talking about something they have gone through in the last few months. And I said, well, Richard, you have to understand that you're in the University of Life, and there are different levels of classes in the University of Life. And he said, can I borrow that? I said, you sure can. But think of life as the University of Life. And you got to come through class after class after class. And when you fail the class, you have to repeat the class. So it's smart to go ahead and try to pass the class the first time you go through it. Because some classes we really don't like to repeat. And understand this. Please understand this. What you're going through right now is a preparation for God's kingdom, for God's purpose, God's plan for your life. And it's okay to say to the Father, I'm not real happy right now. You can say to your Heavenly Father, I'm not really enjoying this. But you have a purpose, you have a plan. So I want to understand your purpose and your plan, but I just want you to know, Father, I'm not really happy. Now, the Word of God says, give thanks in everything. And I've told you before, that preaches a lot easier than it lives. But you see, what happens is we don't dethrone the big I. We leave the big I on the throne of our life. And then when unpleasantness hits our life, we're not happy. we're not happy. So we go a step further now. If you're going to be prepared for the kingdom of God and used in the kingdom of God, then you've got to be pruned. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he prunes it. Pruning is not comfortable. Pruning is not comfortable. Refining is not comfortable. Burning out the dross is not comfortable. And many times you're going through a situation or a circumstance that you don't understand. It makes no sense to you. It just makes no sense at all why you're going through what you're going through. But if you bring it back to this, we know that all things, how many things? All things work together for good for those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. So that means either you would be surprised some of the stuff that comes against me. Satan is always trying to discourage, disappoint, in some way get you to self-centeredness so that you won't be Christ-centered. And he will use anything, any situation, any circumstance, or anybody that he can to work that into your life. You have to understand there's a lot about life that is not pleasant. There's a lot about life that's not nice, it's not enjoyable, but it's reality. And we are living in reality. And you have to understand that. So just think of it, well, I am being pruned, I'm being refined, I'm being trained, and so, Lord, you must see something in my life that needs to be pruned out. There must be some stuff in my life that needs to be refined. There must be some stuff in my life that really needs to be burnt out. The Heavenly Father has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. Now look at the rest of that verse. Let each esteem others better than himself. Think of others as better than me? We don't like to do that. Think of others as better than me. Don't we normally like to think that we're just a little notch higher than the other bear? We like to think, well, I'm not perfect, but I am a notch higher than you. And so we don't want to esteem others better than ourselves. But we got to stop and think about this now. Are we not all created by God?
Yes, yes.
Are we not?
Yes, sir.
We're all created by God. We're all sinners saved by grace. And you see, I was talking to a man this past week, and I knew I was hitting home with him because I said, you're standing there, and you're judging that guy over there at the checkout counter, and you're looking at him, and you're judging him, and you're thinking to yourself, boy, I wouldn't want to sit down and drink a cup of coffee with that guy, much less, whatever. And I said, what you don't understand is that individual that you are being so accusatory towards, so critical towards, so judgmental towards, may be a child of God too. It may be your brother or sister in the Lord. And you are standing here judging them by their appearance, and you're saying to yourselves, I am a notch above you because I don't look the way you look. You got earrings in your ears, you got rings in your nose, and you got tattoos, and you're wearing sloppy clothes, and you're really not worth my time. That person may be more holy than you are. And they may not be saved yet, but they may be going to be saved in the next 3 months, 3 years, 30 years, whatever. You may be going to spend eternity with them. So you need to keep that in mind. But the Word says, esteem others better than yourself. We're all sinners saved by grace. Recall that Jesus got up from the table, knelt and washed the feet of his disciples. God in the flesh. I'm telling you, we don't get it. I know I center on this a lot, but we don't get it. We somehow don't grasp the magnitude of that spiritual truth that Jesus was. God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. That Jesus was God in the flesh, got up from the table, washed the feet of his disciples, including Judas Iscariot. If we really, really, I believe this. That's why I can look at the Lord and say, I don't measure up. I don't measure up. When I compare my life to your life, when I compare my life to your word, I don't measure up. I'm in the process of, but I cannot afford to become satisfied with where I am. I cannot afford to become satisfied. Well, after all, I'm pretty spiritual, aren't I? No, not really. If we could just throw your thought life up on the wall for everybody to see, you'd run out of here. You wouldn't stay in here and put up with you. You'd say, well, these folks are going to find out everything I'm thinking. No, 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 I'm out of here. Jesus, on his knees, washing their feet. Now, I've got to come to this. He washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. He washed the feet of his disciples. Am I really willing to have that mindset? Now, slow down. Are you willing to esteem others better than yourself? Really? Are you really willing to be Christ-like in every area of your life? Because, you see, once you say yes, that means there's going to have to be an awful lot of self-sacrifice. In order to be Christ-like, there's got to be a lot of self-sacrifice. You keep hearing me ask you and teaching, am I willing to be enabled? Am I willing to be empowered? Knowing that I cannot accomplish what I need to accomplish, I cannot be what I need to be unless I am enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what He requires, be what He says I'm to be, I can't do it. Nor can you. But then you come to this. Am I really, truly willing to be enabled and empowered? Because to do that means I've got a lot of dying to self yet to do. Look at verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Don't just be concerned about what concerns you. That's what he's saying. You've got to be sensitive to those around you. You've got to be sensitive to their concern, whether it's a physical need, a spiritual need, or an emotional need. He is saying to us, don't just be so self-centered that you're only concerned about yourself and your interests and what concerns you and what bothers you, but be equally more so for those around you. Sometimes, folks, it's nothing more than taking time to listen. My wife was telling me the other day that she was talking to a lady who has an autistic son. And the lady was just talking and sharing with her. My vocabulary sometimes lacks. For example, I may say, well, they need somebody to dump on. They need somebody to share with. They need somebody. There are people around you. If you become sensitive to, you seem to be off-center today. You seem to be pressed in your spirit today. And if you just take the time to listen to them, just take the time to listen and let them express to you what they're coming through. And many times all it takes is a moment of, are you okay? Are you all right? Are you a bit pressed in your spirit today? Are you a little heavy-hearted today? And that may just open the floodgate for them to express everything they are going through, everything that's a concern. And Sharon has that capacity. Sharon can sit and listen, stand and listen. And this lady, who has an autistic son, just wanted to talk. And Sharon was just listening. That's ministry, folks. If we can learn, once they start talking, to shut up and listen. But so many times, if we're not careful, they start talking, and we're looking for a place in there where I can identify with that, then jump into the conversation, and the next thing you know, we are taking the conversation over. But just taking the time to listen, take the time to offer to pray. It doesn't cost you anything once you've listened to say, could we pray? Would you mind if I prayed with you about that? That's concern for others. That is showing concern for them. That's exactly what he's telling us to do. Now we'll come to verse 5, and this is a toughie. Look at it, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, what is that? Now let me show you something. This stressed me. I check different Biblicists. I don't want to preach their messages, but I want to get some insight there. Maybe I missed something. It's there, but I didn't find a single one that keyed on something I was looking at. Look at the first word of that verse. Let. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If I walk up to Lenny, and he's carrying some musical equipment out, and I say, let me help you, what am I offering? I'm offering to help him. But suppose he says, no, I got it. I don't need your help. I got it. But when I use the word, let me help you, I'm saying to him, I need your approval in order to help you in the assistance which I've offered. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, now, Word of God says, let this mind be in you. Has it ever occurred to you that you resist? Has it ever occurred to you? It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, when I looked at that and I said, wait a minute, and I found one individual that partially agreed with me. But I looked at that and I said, wait a minute. This thing becomes volitional. Let this mind be in you. Am I willing, here again, to be enabled and empowered to have the mind of Christ developed in me? Are you? We're in trouble, folks. The nation is in trouble. The church is in trouble. And when you get to a verse like this, what was the mind of Christ? If you were going to answer that, how would you answer that? Let this mind be in you. Allow it. Permit it. It's almost as though he's saying, and he is saying, will you allow my Holy Spirit to develop this mindset in you that Christ had? Well, then you got to stop and say, well, wait a minute. You're asking me if I'm willing to let the mind of Christ be developed in me, and the mind of Christ is a mind of humbleness. He had an humble mind. His was a mind of humility. His was a mind of servant-mindedness, washing feet. His was a mind of love and concern for others. Stop and think about it. Outside of yourself and your immediate family, who do you really love? And who are you really concerned about? And what is your love and your concern prompting you to do? Is it prompting you to pray for them? Is it prompting you to demonstrate that love? Is it prompting you in some way to express your concern, your love for them and their situation? See, Christ, even when he was hanging on the cross, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He's nailed to a cross. He's naked. He's going to die. He is God in the flesh, hanging on a cross, becoming his own sacrifice for sins. I've taught you for years. But even on that cross, you recall that in all of his anguish, all of his agony, all of his pain, he was still concerned about others. His mother in John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, now he's hanging on a cross. We don't even take the time because we're in a hurry. You don't understand. I got to get this done and that done because I want to be through in time to do this or do that. He's hanging on a cross. Nailed to the cross. Sees his mother stand there. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." I'm going to die on this cross. You're my mother. I'm concerned about your welfare and your security. And so I'm turning you over to this apostle of mine. That's my concern. Even in my pain, my agony, my anguish, everything I'm going through, I'm still concerned about you. You have that kind of mind? I'm going to tell you, folks, we get so self-centered. We get so self-centered that we haven't the time to let the mind of Christ be in us and demonstrate himself through us. He goes further. He had compassion and concern on those that were crucifying him. He's hanging on the cross. But Luke 22:34, then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Now, while he's hanging on the cross, pleading and praying and interceding for them, they're at the bottom of the cross, laughing and cursing and gambling for his clothes. And he's praying for them. Concern for others. That was his mind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I tell you, then he had that compassion that crucified criminal was on the cross with him. Remember, there were two criminals there. And in his own pain and agony, he still had commitment to the will of the Father. Let this mind be in you. What was his mindset? His mindset was total, complete compliance with the will of God. No exceptions. No rationalization. No justification. Complete, total commitment and obedience to the will of the Father. Are you there? Let this mind. Are you willing to be there? I wish I had the ability to express the depth of what I feel about that. Because I have to say to the Father, just me and him alone. For example, I told a brother this morning to read Psalm 27. The other morning, and I was just sitting before the Lord, and the Holy Spirit led me to Psalm 27. And it was making sense to me, and then I got down to verse 8. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said, "Lord, I will seek your face." When your word, when you said to me, "Seek my face," my heart said, "I will seek your face." What does that mean? To you, what does it mean? I will seek your face. Let me tell you what it means. It means, yes, I will seek communion with you. I will seek intimate fellowship with you. I will seek sensitivity to your spirit. I will seek to know you. I will seek to understand you. I will seek to obey you. I will seek to humble myself before you and be to you and for you all I can possibly be to you and for you. Are you there? Are you there? I started out by telling you, when I look at my life in the light of his life, in the light of Scripture, I say, "Lord, I'm not there." But don't dwell on your failure. Dwell on what his willingness. You see, he is willing to develop that in you if you're willing for it to be developed in you. Amen. He's willing to do that. But he needs a willing heart. He needs the one to say, yes, I will seek your face. I will seek your face. So when I do that, I got to realize this is going to call for some self-denial. Turn to somebody and say, he's about to hurt me. It's going to call for self-denial. It means this. It means that this hurts. Oh, this hurts. It means at times I've got to just be silent when I really want to lash out. I want to respond. I want to react. I want to express my feelings. I want to express my mind. I want to get this out of me and on you. But if I'm going to practice self-denial, I can't do that. There are times the Holy Spirit says, no, no, no. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean, no? I want to speak to this, Lord. No. No. Pilate said to Jesus, don't you realize? You don't speak to me. You're not answering me. Don't you understand I have the power to put you to death? And Jesus said, you would have no power except is given to you. Jesus never responded like that, even to his detractors. I mean, even in situations and circumstances where they were really, really on him, he didn't respond like that. Everything I'm teaching this morning, the Word speaks to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold on to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He has already experienced everything you're going to experience. Amen. And passed it. He passed the class. When you stop and think about it, you say, yeah, but you know, Bob, he was God in the flesh and he had no sin. No, he didn't have sin. But he was just as much human as he was God. And he suffered every temptation Satan suggested to his mind. Satan tried to get him to react and respond the same way he gets us to react and respond. But he didn't do it. John 15:2, I said a moment ago, pruning is not comfortable. Every branch in me, every branch, if you're in Christ, if you are born again, if you're in Christ, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about developing the fruit of the Holy Spirit here, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. He prunes and prunes and prunes. He is cutting out, taking off, putting away, burning out everything in your life in an ongoing fashion that is unlike him. Let me put it to you this way. As you come through, every last one of us are going to go through the pruning. Spurgeon said, every brick of gold has to go through the fire. He was talking about we as believers, as a brick of gold, have got to go through the fire. The fire of what? The fire of pruning, refining, burning out the dross. And it comes in layers, folks. As I recall, gold is refined 7 times before it reaches the point that they want it to be pure. So stop and think about yourself. Now, wait a minute. I've got to go through fire after fire after fire after fire. And sometimes God in his love, God in his mercy, God in his grace will allow you to go along for a certain length of time at that level, even though he is trying to prompt you and get you to go ahead and advance to the next level and you're dragging your feet. I don't have time for the word. I got time for this and this and this and this and this. Name your own poison. But I don't have time to spend that kind of time in the Word, and I don't have that kind of time to spend that kind of time with you, and I'm flat not going to sit down and be quiet, be still before you, and wait on you to speak to me. No, I'm not going to do that. He said, yeah, you will. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to let you just float along like this for a month, 6 months, 5 years, whatever it may be. And then I'm going to turn up the heat. And I'm going to let you experience things you've never experienced before. I'm going to let you experience conviction, illumination, enlightenment, and sometimes just stress that will finally get you to the point that you really leave this level and go to this level. We've got to pass through the fire. I've been through the fire, and I'm still going through the fire in my own way, and so are many of you. And that's what he's saying here, that every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he prunes it. He refines us. It's not comfortable. Do you? Lord, help us. He talks about cutting off the branches. Everything, in other words, now think about it this way. And now we're not being legalistic here, okay? We're being a biblicist. I'm just simply trying to explain what the Word of God means. So let's don't get into this, well, you're being a legalist. No. Think of all the stuff in your life, practices, attitudes that he may have to cut out just to get you more like him. The habits, the practices, the attitudes, the responses, the motives. Think about all the ways you spend your time that is not best for you nor for the kingdom. Is there going to come a day he says, well, I got to take that out of your life now. I'm giving you a chance to surrender it, but if you don't want to surrender it, I know how to take it out. Is this making any sense to anybody? That's what he says. He says he's going to cut it out. He's going to pluck it out, and it's not comfortable. So, Spurgeon, I told you, talk about every brick has to go through the fire. Now we come down to this, verse 6, Philippians chapter 2. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What that verse ultimately boils down to is this. Jesus is God in the flesh. Amen? Amen. He is in glory. He's got myriads of angels coming and going, dispatched to different places on the earth to perform his will. He has all this angelic chorus. He's getting praise and glory and honor. He's got angels at his command. They'll do anything he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants. He has all of this going for him, all power, all authority. And yet the day came when the Father said to the Son, it's time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, born under the law. It's time for you to stand up off your throne in glory and lay down all your glory, take off all your robes, take off everything that pertains to your position here, and go to earth as a common man so that you can become the sacrifice for the sins of man. And he didn't argue. He had known from eternity past that day was coming. Now it was here. It was time. So look at this. He did not let his position in glory restrict him nor restrain him from laying everything down that he had up there and come to earth to become the sacrifice for sin, for you, for me. He didn't let that restrain him. He did not refuse to relinquish everything that was his. We hate to give up time. Give God an hour a day? You kidding? I got Facebook. I got Twitter. I got this, I got that, I got the other. You expect me? No. It's between you and God. He knows how to work it out. He knows how to work it out. Just before he was crucified, Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 and verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you give me to do. John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Watch this. With the glory which I had in you before the world was. The time for me to come back to you. And I will once again pick up all everything that I had before coming to earth. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Philippians 2:7, he made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Folks, Jesus was not seeking man's applause. One of the things I've prayed, Father, help me to escape the accolades of men, not to seek the accolades of men. There was no applause for him. He wasn't seeking applause because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the whole purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. There was no self-centeredness in him. There was no selfish ambition in him. The question is that true of me? And is that true of you? Is there? Philippians 2:8. Stop and think about this. If any man wanted applause and recognition, he could have got it. I don't know many people that can walk on water. But then I don't know many people that can speak to the wind and hush. I don't know many people that can raise the dead. Do you? I mean, if he wanted applause, if he wanted recognition, he certainly had all the attributes and all the power to get it. But he didn't seek. He said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. He was not looking for that kind of recognition. He was looking for men and women who would acknowledge who they were, what they were, and receive him and believe him as the Messiah and become new creations in Christ. Amen. Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, God in the flesh, himself the sacrifice for our sins, and the centrality of that message must not escape us. Luke chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. You see, there's some people so righteous you can't call them to repentance because they think they've already arrived in who they are and what they are. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of which I am the chief. Paul recognized his sinfulness. Christ, God in the flesh, became his own sacrifice for sin. No one else would suffice. Nothing else would suffice. No other way to do it. No other sacrifice would be acceptable. Only him. So he humbled himself and became obedient even to the cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Jesus right now has a position above anything and everything in the universe, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And the day is going to come. And let me say this. Folks, without getting charismatic, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. You see, every demon out of hell, Satan himself cowers at the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's the church that doesn't understand the power of Jesus. And every time we, in the church, so many people in the church, every time they hit a bump in the road, fear seizes them, locks them down. They can't go anywhere else. The church has to understand and embrace and practice the power that is the name of Jesus, because anytime you use the name of Jesus, God is going to bless the use of the name of Jesus to his glory. Not to yours, not to mine, but to his glory. And there are people sitting right in here this morning. This lady right here, that lady right in there, that lady sitting right back there. You've got people in here this morning that need a move of God to do for them which no medical protocol can do unless God himself breathes on it.
Amen.
The church has lost sight, has never really grasped, has never really embraced the power that's in the name of Jesus. I've seen it work. I have seen the name of Jesus. Just the power that was in the name of Jesus, I've seen it work. I've been exposed to it. I know what it will do. And each and every one of us need to understand that we are commissioned to use that name. Hear me now as I'm wrapping this up. Every child of God is commissioned to use that name, but there are some requirements to use that name. I told a man this past week. He said, how do you hear God? I said, simple. Hearing God is fairly easy. I had to tell a man one time, I said, you got no prayer power. He wanted to know why, how he could develop prayer power. I said, you can't. He said, why not? I said, because you've got a life full of sin. You want prayer power, you got to get the sin confessed out. Amen. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. End of conversation. If I have known sin in my life that I'm embracing and holding on to and will not deal with it, I have no prayer power.
Amen.
Nor do you. If I want prayer power, I've got to come to grips with the stuff that's in my life that is un-Christ-like, that's contrary to the Word of God and contrary to Christ. And I've got to confess it as sin.
Amen.
You may not get victory over the first time around, but you stay at it till you get the victory. I've been there. When I knew that I knew that I knew, glory be to God, I got victory now. This victory is mine. And I could leave that place of prayer with full confidence that I knew that I had the victory. Look at verse 9 again. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Why? Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of those in earth, and those under the earth. Now, folks, that day is on the horizon of eternity future. It's going to happen. That is going to happen. There's going to come a day when every knee that was ever created in heaven and hell is going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only kneel, but every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee is going to bow. Why not practice now?
Amen.
It's going to happen. But you know something? I say now, listen to me. This is on the horizon in the future. It's going to happen. We know that it's going to happen. Every knee ever created, Satan himself is going to bow before Jesus. Every demon out of hell is going to bow before Jesus. Those of us who've been born again are going to bow. And the Word of God says that every tongue, Satan's tongue, is going to declare him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then you're going to be standing there, many of God's people will stand thinking, wait a minute, Satan, you're cowering, you're kneeling, you're confessing that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You knew that all the time, and I had access to that name, and I didn't use it? You'd be surprised how much the church is putting up with that the church doesn't have to put up with. But there's so much division and strife and turmoil and sin in the church that the church is lacking the power that's in that name. For some, it's going to be painful. It's going to be painful for Satan. At the judgment, when he says, kneel. I don't want to kneel. Kneel! And Satan's going to fall on his knees. Every demon out of hell is going to fall on their knees. Jesus, you are Lord. We faked it a long time. We lied a long time. We confused a long time. We deceived a lot of people a long time. But you are Lord. And I'm going to do a hallelujah dance. I want to see every demon that's ever attacked me on his knees before Jesus. I want to see him down there saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Well, are you willing to have that mind? Are you willing to humble yourself? Are you willing to practice humility? Are you willing to show the same concern and love and compassion for others that Christ Jesus showed you? It's all right here. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Here's what we're going to do this morning. Toby, the doctors can't do for you what Jesus can do for you. Shirley, no medical protocol will do for you what only Jesus can do. Xenia, as we discussed before the service, no medical protocol can do for you what only Christ can do. I want those of you, now I'm not telling you got a backache, okay? We can live with a backache. Go see Dr. Mike. We'll pray for his anointing. But you're here this morning. I'm serious. You're here this morning, and you have a physiological problem that only God can fix. That only God can do it. There's not a medical... Understand this, please, people. The woman with the issue of blood spent everything she had on doctors. Spent everything she had on doctors. And was none the better. She didn't even run around in front of Jesus and kneel down. She just said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And in faith, she touched it and was healed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to the Word of God. Florence, you need to stand up this morning too. But I want those of you who are willing to say, and I'm not talking about just a little sprain or something. No, I'm talking about you got a problem. You've got a medical problem that only God can heal. I'm going to ask you to come up here and stand up front. No flesh, no nothing. I want you to get up right now and come down here and stand right here. You have a medical problem that only God can heal. We're not talking about a backache or a little sprain or... No, we're talking about something only God can do. Because here's what we're going to do. Xenia, I want you right up here. Toby, I want you right up here. Where's Shirley? Shirley, right up here. I'm going into this. This is not fun and games. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're not trying to get any accolades, any applause, or recognition. Roselle, won't you come stand right behind them? BG, won't you stand right behind them? I want you agreeing with me as I pray for these people. Gene and Roselle both, I want you agreeing with me as I pray for these people. And please understand this. Whatever comes out of this, according to your faith, right now you need to be saying, Lord, give me faith. Right now, you need to be saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Tell the Lord, I want to believe. Tell the Lord, I want you to be honored. Tell the Lord, I will give you the thanksgiving, the glory, and the honor. Preacher gets none of it. It's all Jesus. Because I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to speak and invoke his name on you. Father, we don't do this lightly. But Holy Spirit of God, Jesus, thou Christ, we need some help in this congregation. I've got people here, Lord, that unless you breathe on the medical protocol or just breathe on them without the medical protocol, you can do that. You can bring healing. You don't need the medical protocol. You may choose or may not choose to use it. But Father, in the name of Jesus, touch her. Bring restoration, healing, relief, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch her. Bring relief and comfort and healing, I pray.
Yes, Lord.
Father, touch her in the name of Jesus with healing and comfort. Relief, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, touch her, I pray, in the name of Jesus, with comfort and peace, healing and restoration. Father, touch him, I pray, in the name of Jesus, with healing, peace, comfort, and restoration. Father, touch him, I pray, in the name of Jesus, with healing and peace and comfort. Father, touch him, I pray, in the name of Jesus, with healing, comfort, and peace, restoration. Father, touch her, I pray, in the name of Jesus, with healing, peace, comfort, and restoration. Father, touch her, I pray, this morning, in the name of Jesus, with comfort, peace, relief, and healing this morning, in Jesus' name. Father, touch her this morning, I pray, in the name of Jesus, with comfort, peace, healing, restoration. Now, in each one of you that I've prayed for, to pray this out loud right now. Lord Jesus, I receive what's been prayed for me. Preacher can't do it. It's your name, your power, your presence. And Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. And please answer the prayer prayed this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You go back and have a seat.